Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The enemies of the heterosexual family invariably deny the fundamental differences between the genders. This makes it easier for Heather to have two mommies. Reality check. Kids need both moms and dads. Today, the battle for the family continues. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. We're talking about rebuilding the foundations, refuting the crazy idea that boys and girls are basically the same.
Rebecca and I were at a meeting in Nashville a couple of months ago, and Dennis Prager was speaking about this, and he named a professor who believed that. And in order to test it, he decided that he would give these little girls some trucks, just to prove that if they had trucks, they were going to act just like boys. So he came back a while later, and one of the little girls said, "Shh, shh, we put blankets on the trucks, and they're sleeping." I don't know about you, but there were three boys in our family. When we were given trucks, we didn't tuck them in for their afternoon nap. And if someone had given us a doll, we'd have probably ripped its head off to see what was inside. And this massive attack, where you have women trying to be like men and men being feminized, is destroying our families in America today. Let me say that there is nothing as beautiful as masculinity, men being allowed to be men and women being allowed to be women, without one thinking that they have to be like the other. And for those who would say that we should redefine the family, where two men can be married, where a brother can marry his brother, because after all he's in love and incest rules do not apply since there's no procreation, I say with a broken, weeping heart, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They really don't know what it is that they are doing. Now, sin messes this up really badly. As a matter of fact, when we read the next chapter, Genesis 3, you know the whole story, okay? Adam and Eve sin. All right, now, what happens? They're walking in the garden of the cool of the day. Does God say, Eve, did you eat the fruit of the tree, by the way? Sorry about that, guys, but look at here. It's in verse 9, not making it up. The Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? You have responsibility for your wife. And later on it says, because you have listened unto the voice of your wife, you're being judged. Now, I just told you that you should listen to the voice of your wife. You should always be in communication, always making decisions together, but if she gives you some bad advice and tells you to sin against God, you have a responsibility to say no. Adam has the responsibility. And what happens is the Lord God asks Adam, have you eaten of the tree? And what does he say? Oh, God, am I guilty? I know I had responsibility for my wife. I'm guilty. No, not a chance. It all began here, folks. The woman whom you gave me. This weak-willed woman. She took of the tree, and then what's a guy supposed to do? She was eating. He blamed his wife, even though there wasn't a chance in the world that he had married the wrong one, okay? Okay. God comes to the woman and said, why did you eat? She said, the serpent beguiled me and I ate. It's there in the text. So the man blamed the woman blamed the serpent, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. What happens next? Conflict is built right into marriage. It's right here. It says in verse 16, last part of the verse, I will multiply your pain in childbearing. He's speaking to Eve. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Many commentators believe that because of the ambiguity of the word for, it should really be against. Your desire will be against your husband, and he'll rule over you. When he says black, you'll say white. When he says blue, you'll say green. You will resent his leadership, and you will chafe under it, but he will rule over you. And sometimes men rule badly. I mean, we're going to even deal with issues of abuse later on in this series. Sometimes men, but I mean, it's built right into the relationship. No wonder General Westmoreland, it is rumored, lecturing to the troops at West Point, said to them, gentlemen, don't even think about getting married until you've mastered the art of warfare. Do I have to repeat that for some of you? The fight is going to be built right into it. Marriage is going to be difficult. And the question is, do you want an escape hatch to get out of all the difficulties? You get two egotistical, self-centered people all thinking that the other person's obligation is to make them happy, and it's not working. Or do you want to build character and all the rest? We'll talk about that later. But conflict built right into the midst of the marriage. That's why a man said, I was married by a judge. Now I wished I'd asked for a jury, you know. So conflict is going to be built right into the marriage relationship. God is going to expel them from the garden. You know why God expels them from the garden at the end of the chapter? There's no going back to paradise. See, I can imagine Adam and Eve saying to themselves, well, you know, why don't we just go back so that things will be like they once were? The answer is, I'm sorry, God says you can't go back. In fact, if you ate at that tree of life, you'd live forever as a sinner. I'm doing you a service by introducing death to get you out of the misery of sin. So just know that that's actually death is a blessing to those who know the Lord, to get out of this sinful life and all of its implications. And you can't go back, can you? If I may give you one more story, a friend of mine says that he loves to run his wedding videos backwards so that he can see himself backing out of the church a free man. But you can't redo it, can you? We've all had experiences we wish for all the world that we could redo. But like a friend of mine says, there are many things that you can't put back into the bottle. But into the midst of this, God is going to introduce something. He's going to give a redeemer. That's what it says in verse 15. Don't have time to go into the verse, but God is going to give us a redeemer. And furthermore, Adam and Eve, they sowed fig leaves to hide their shame, and it might have hid them from one another, but it couldn't hide them from God. And what does God graciously do? You'll notice it says there in verse 21 of chapter 3, the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. You know what God is saying right out of the chute here? God is saying there's no cheap answer to sin. God says blood has to be shed. You will be covered. Your sin will be covered. It will be taken away. But I just want you to know that fig leaves won't do it. What you come up with isn't the answer. I'm the one that has to do it. I'm the one who has to clothe you. I will kill animals to give you skin. And someday there will be a redeemer by the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who will take away the sin of the world. And because of him, grace and mercy and forgiveness is going to be poured into families. Of course, you know what happened to Adam and Eve. They had a number of children. Their oldest son was Cain. Cain, in a real hissy fit, kills his brother Abel because Abel was accepted by God and Cain couldn't stand the jealousy and kills him. And you thought that yours was the first dysfunctional family. Is that right? Oh my, happened right here. But from now on in the Bible, wherever there is sin, there's going to be grace. When I talk about the man's role, for example, in marriage and the family, I'm going to point out to you that there are passages in the Bible where it says, so-and-so did evil in the sight of the Lord all his days. And then it says he had a son, and it'll name the son, who walked in all the ways of the Lord and served the Lord all of his life. You read that and say, wow, how did that happen? Grace. God gives you grace today. You came from a family of abuse, a family of alcoholism, a family of divorce, and have been deeply, deeply wounded. You have an advantage over good families. A kind of advantage. Not that I envy your situation, but, and that is, you know that you need grace. You know that you have to cry up to God. There are tons of Christians today brought up in wonderful families, and they think, yeah, grace is kind of nice. And why? Because everything's going so well. If it's not going well, you're a candidate for God's matchless grace. And furthermore, though, grace does not enter closed doors. You have to open your heart to grace. Can you trust God in a new way during this series of messages? That years of bitterness and stuffed in your soul, that God can siphon it off and just begin to pour into your life grace, grace, God's grace that is greater than our sin. And if you will, would you join me as we pray? Our Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you might grant to all of us listening ears to respond to whatever it is that we've learned today. We pray, Father, that immediately couples would begin to pray, either individually or together, for their children, for their families, for their relationship. We pray that you might help us to lay down the sins that create barriers. And for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they believe on him even now. How blessed it is when our transgressions are forgiven and our sin is covered. We thank you in his name. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Thanks so much for joining us today. And in this series of messages, I am praying that God will give grace to your family as you deal with the issues that we are going to be discussing. And by the way, we're making this series of messages available in video form along with a discussion guide. I trust that God will use it to change many, many families.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. We've heard Rebuilding the Foundations, the first of 10 messages on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, a mother's high calling. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a helpful discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.